Lecture topic, 12th Rabiul Awal, 1435, part 1.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa usalli wa usallimu ala al-mab'uuthi rahmatan lil alameen. Nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi. Wa man ihtada bihadihi wa qtada bisunnatihi ila yawmiddin wa ba'd. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ أخذ الله ميثاق النبيين لما آتيتكم من كتاب وحكمة ثم جاءكم رسول مصدق لما معكم لتؤمنن به ولتنصرنه قال أأقررتم وأخذتم على ذلكم إصري قالوا أقررنا قال فاشهدوا وأنا معكم من الشاهدين وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قالوا يا رسول الله إنك تداعبنا قال لا أقول إلا حقا أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, it is my general pattern every year in the month of Rabiul Awal when the seerah focus is being discussed to endeavor to highlight a different dimension from the impeccable legacy of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and this year is no different. I'm sure you are familiar with the phrase in the English language, and today it's very common on the WhatsApps, what they refer to as oxymoron. I'm not a linguist and it's not an English lesson. But just to give you a forward to what I actually want to speak on. In essence, it is two contradicting words in a common sentence. By way of example, deafening silence. Pretty ugly, exact estimate, small crowd. And they say the best and the most apt description of oxymoron is happily married. The most apt description of contradicting words in a common sentence is happily married. The gentleman had this bold print on his t-shirt, I am married and sufficiently disturbed, please don't disturb further. Be it as it may, put your thinking cap and reflect at length, introspect at depth. I was going through the books of Seerah and Allah put this thought in my mind and hence I share what I share with you. The noble companions, may Allah's peace be upon them, describe the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam as a human mutawasil al-ahzan, a man with perpetual grief, a man with permanent grief. But coupled with that, they equally describe the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, da'imat tabassum, a man with a permanent smile. Leave all the other oxymoron and all the other analogies, reconcile between this year. A man with perpetual grief, his grief was of such a magnitude that Quran had to intervene to rescue it. لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِن لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. Oh my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this regret might just claim your life in the interim. Yet Jarir ibn Abdullah Bajali radiallahu anhu says, whenever I met the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I cannot recall meeting him without a broad smile on his blessed face. If we look at the crisis that has gripped, plagued and paralyzed the world today, surely it is of a preposterous nature. The butchers, the tyrants, the killers, those that continue to massacre, and we see the carnage that is unfolding, and may Allah make it easy for the ummah across the globe. Surely it warrants permanent depression. A person loses his taste buds. But the prophetic balance and moderation in lamenting the crisis is that we do not become oblivious of the moment in front of us and we strike the correct balance, lament by heart, but do not deny a smile to the man in front of us. Unfortunately, we have slipped into depression. We become oblivious of our seniors, our parents, leave alone our peers and our juniors, only to know our depression is not motivated by the crisis that has gripped the ummah, but it is due to my personal, financial, social, and domestic related crisis. Imam Shaabi rahmatullah alayhi was a great tabi'i. Someone one day seen him and mentioned to him, "You're a man of great caliber, but I see you like to interject your day with objective humor and smiles. What's the wisdom?" He said, "Lawla al-mizah mutna min al-gham." If we don't flavor our life with objective humor, the humankind, due to the depression in the world, will die instantly with depression. Amongst his humor, it's mentioned somebody came to him one day and asked him, he was sitting with his wife, "Ayyukum Shaabi," between you and your wife, "Who's Shaabi?" He said, "My wife, of course." Somebody asked him, "Who's the famous Imam Shaabi, you or this person?" He said, no, "My wife." One brother said, "I make dua that I pass away with my wife." I said, "We all make dua, it's challenging to love one." He said, no, "I make dua for a different reason. She's very swift in answering, maybe she'll answer in the qabr for me also." Malaika, you just want to visit next door, please. To your left. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has taught us, and this is the focus of my talk, the world in which we live in today, people are suffering a low morale. People are suffering a low self-esteem. There's doom and gloom. There's misery and depression. It was part of the teachings of Nabi alayhi salam to elevate the morale of people. It was part of the wholesome character of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to alleviate the crisis of people. It was part of the wholesome character of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to bring a smile on a believer some way or the other. In fact, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the narration of Tirmidhi, if you cannot remove the depression of a believer permanently, even remove it momentarily. If you cannot rescue the crisis, at least try and intervene according to the measure and the means you have. So he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِذَا دَخَلْتُمْ عَلَى الْمَرِيدِ, when you visit a sick person, فَنَفِّسُوا لَهُ فِي أَجَلِهِ, then say kind words to him while he is in his chronic condition. Now look at the apt and look at the prophetic methodology and look at the wholesome psychology of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. فَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ لَا يَرُدُّ شَيْئًا. Your kind words will not prolong his life or cure his situation, but will leave one person spirited, and that's enough for your jannat. Hey, mashallah, so and so. Obviously, the doctor has to give a medical explanation, and he can't give, empty hopes to the ailing person. But I can say some kind words and say, "You're looking great, you're looking wonderful, you'll be out, inshallah. This is what we have ahead." فَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ لَا يَرُدُّ شَيْئًا. Your kind words will not alter his destiny. It will not change his fate. وَيَطِيبُ بِهِ نَفْسًا. But you leave him happy. You leave him elated. You leave him excited with some hope to live on. And that is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in another hadith of his, إِنَّ مِنْ أَفْضَلِ الْأَعْمَالِ, amongst the noblest of actions, إِدْخَالُ السُّرُورِ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِ, to bring joy to a believer. Either you satiate his belly, or you clear a liability, or you clothe him with some garments that Allah has given you. But in essence, Allah gives you the opportunity to bring joy to one person. This is a great character and teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The books of hadith speak about a sahabi by the name of Zahir radiyallahu anhu. وَكَانَ رَجُلًا ذَمِيمًا. He was a man who lacked physical beauty. It's very easy to embrace a prominent man. It's very easy to salute a person who belongs to an elite class and category. But how many of us can spare a moment and have a broad smile in embracing a man who doesn't have much social standing? Zahir radiallahu anhu in the galaxy of Sahaba featured as a regular person. Surely I use that in the context of other Sahaba. Otherwise, no Sahabi is a regular or an ordinary or an average Sahabi. Every Sahabi is way beyond our mind and way beyond our comprehension. He used to live on the outskirts of Medina. He, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said, "Inna zahiran badiyatuna wa nahnu hadiruhu." When I go on the outskirts, I put up at Zahir's place. And when he comes to Medina, I am his guest. I am his host and he is my guest. So one day Zahir radiallahu anhu comes, he would bring some fruit from the outskirts of Medina, put his little table and sell his basic things. Living hand to mouth, breaking even, and that's how his life is moving. Nobody would give him a second look, nobody would give him any additional hospitality. Which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned, the narration of Ibn Asakir, that there are those servants of Allah, al-khamisatu butunuhum min kasbil halal. They remain hungry because they restrict themselves to the absolute pure. Al-mughabbaratu wujuhuhum. Occasionally and often you'll find dust enveloped on their entire body. And what is their condition? In ghabu lam yuftaqadu. Their absence is seldom noticed. In hadaru lam yuqarrabu. Their presence is seldom acknowledged. Akhfiyaun fi dunya. When they pass away, people have to remind you, you know that old uncle used to come, used to drive this car, used to, yeah, he passed away. It takes you time to register who he was. Ma'rufuna fi sama. But there isn't an angel in the heavens that doesn't know his profile in detail. There isn't an angel in the heavens that doesn't know his profile in detail. So Nabi Sassan comes from the rear. Look at people today, they're in great depression. People are in despondency. People are in misery. Some have financial, others have turbulence with kids, others have social turbulence. And if you look on a macro level, there's so much turbulence that has rocked the planet. So one human has become a vessel of multiple depression. Imam Shafi said, Sahirat uyunun wa namat a'yunu fi umurin takunu aw la takunu. Some are so depressed that they have compound their depression with insomnia because they cannot sleep. So now it's a multiple crisis. One is I am stressed, and then because of the stress I cannot sleep, which is an added crisis. فَدْرَئِ الْهَمَّ عَنِ النَّفْسِ. Divert and avert this depression. Flick it off your shoulders. فَحِمْلَانُكَ الْهُمُومَ جُنُونُ. Because to be perpetually depressed is tantamount to insanity. إِنَّ رَبَّا كَفَاكَ بِالْأَمْسِ مَا كَانَ سَيَكْفِيكَ فِي غَدٍ مَا يَكُونُ. The Allah that is taking care of the earth till today has not become inactive tomorrow. So the Nabi of Allah spares a moment, comes from the rear, embraces this child. Imagine, I marvel at this hadith amongst other ahadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passes away. None can feel the catastrophic consequences of his tragic demise as Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu felt it. Because he was the closest to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's days after that. Imagine he is drowning in his sorrow at the hadith of Bukhari and the exit from the masjid, Abu Bakr and Ali radiallahu anhumah. And this depression, the sadness, the sorrow is in him. And as he exits, Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhumah are playing outside. So Abu Bakr tells Ali, just give me a minute, let me just hug this child and share a kind word with him. I am caught up because my container is stuck. Not mine, I'm talking general, I don't have containers. But somebody's container is stuck at the port, and you know what, negotiations is in process, and you know what, it has gripped his mind, it has consumed his logic, it has veiled his sanity, it has blocked his thinking, and he's lost the moment. I'm so oblivious, I'm stopping at a green light, moving at a red light. Those are the kind of erratic behavior the average human is going through. Can you imagine the balance in the life of Sahaba? With half of his heart, Abu Bakr is contending with the demise of Nabi alayhi salam. But he doesn't deny Hassan radiallahu anhu the warm embrace and the loving smile. And hence they then became the leaders of this ummah. And today where our youth are, and hence what the future holds. And then he embraces him, and then he looks at Ali, and they have a chuckle. And he says, Shibhun bin Nabiyyi laysa shabihan bi Aliyin. Ali, I don't see any of your dials on your son. He's a replica of the Nabi of Allah. No trace of you on this boy. No trace of you on this boy. The Nabi of Allah comes from the rear, embraces this Zahir from the back, holds him passionately, And my hair stand on end when I imagine that exhilarating moment for Zahir that the Nabi of Allah is sitting and embracing. You read where people wish to dine with celebrities and they wish to have a moment with this man. And I wish I could be sitting in the lap of that man. And can the words of any language potentially encapsulate the honor that lied in the lap of Zahir? When my Nabi came from the rear and embraced him and said, "May yashtari hadha al-abd," listen, I'm auctioning the gentleman. Is there anybody that wants to make a pick or offer a price? I'm ready to negotiate. He, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, reduces himself. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, "Inni la yu'jibuni an yakuna ar-rajulu fi ahlihi mithla as-sabiy fa idha wujida minhu haja fa idha bughiya minhu haja wujida rajul." It really fascinates me to find an adult reducing himself to a junior in social interaction, yet the very person who can reduce himself to a junior can instantly mature to a robust, matured individual when the call is made and the hour is critical. He can be a child and he can be an adult. He can evolve immediately and instantly. So he feels from the rear, and then he feels the gentleness of the palm, and then he turns, and imagine when those two eyes met. Imagine when those two eyes met, what must have been that feeling? I was reading one book and one author writes it so beautifully where he highlights these exhilarating moments and these electrifying moments in the life of different respective Sahaba. So he says, كَيْفَ كَانَ شُعُورُ مُعَاذٍ. Imagine the pinnacle of ecstasy when the Nabi of Allah called Mu'adh ibn Jabal. ضَمَّهُ الرَّسُولُ. The Nabi of Allah embraces him and then whispers in his ears, "Wallahi inni la'uhibbuka ya Mu'adh. Sorry to disturb your pattern and to call you suddenly. I just wanted to tell you, Mu'adh, I'm very fond of you. Mu'adh, I'm very fond of you." Can you imagine? My cry, my heart, my pain, Allah knows. If only the youth can live and die for these type of joys, your father can call you, "My boy, I'm happy with you. You made it in life. You made it." On the reverse, the average man, the father calls and he's suppressing his pain. He's suppressing his disgust. He's suppressing his displeasure so that it doesn't have repercussions on the life of this boy. Allah guide one and all. Wallahi inni la uhibbuk. Kayfa kana shu'uru Abdullah ibn Abbas. What was that moment when the Nabi of Allah called Abdullah ibn Abbas when he came to spend the night at his maternal aunt Maymuna radiyallahu anha? The hadith of Bukhari, and the Nabi of Allah put him on that same bed. You know, the little kid, the little toddler hops onto the bed between grandpa and grandma. "Oh, Abdullah ibn Abbas, we green with envy. Your face was touching with the feet of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam." Somebody sent me this WhatsApp and I really liked how they phrased it. It was in Urdu. I'm paraphrasing. It's not a verbatim, but I like the manner in which it was presented. In essence, the person who authored this quote said that we've heard it, but there's a twist to the dimension to just give it more, you know, flavor and meaning. That Yusuf ko dekkar auraton ne ungliyan kaat di, yahan ungli ko dekkar chaand kat gaya. I mean, I really love the way they presented this. Mesmerized, riveted, spellbound by the beauty of Yusuf, the woman cut their fingers. Yeah, when the moon glanced at the blessed finger, the moon caved in and the moon split. كَيْفَ كَانَ شُعُورُ مُعَاذٍ. So here Sayyidina Mu'adh sleeping between Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas on the blessed bed with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his aunt Maymuna. And he sallallahu alayhi wasallam gets up and he reads the famous verses, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَيْلٌ لِمَنْ قَرَأَهَا وَلَمْ يَتَدَبَّرْ فِيهَا. The little boy, the little lad exploits the moment, capitalizes on the opportunity, prepares the water, presents it so the Nabi of Allah can perform ablution and engage in the nocturnal prayer. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, calls him, embraces him. Allahumma allimhu al-kitab. Allah, inspire his bosom to imbibe the sciences of the Quran. How electrifying that moment was. Last week I was in London and I was giving a talk. I said, today people are head over heels and they're overwhelmed because they won a trophy, only to discover it's a floating trophy. I'm like, what? You're kidding, man? A floating trophy, and it gives you such a kick and such a thrill. Well, my Nabi's dua doesn't float. When he focuses it, it's on you designated. It doesn't float, it doesn't hop, it doesn't jump. He used to have the du'as of Nabi alayhi salam. Now, no, no. When the Nabi of Allah made a du'a on a person, then that was it. كَيْفَ كَانَ شُعُورُ عَلِيٍّ. What was that moment for Sayyidina Ali when the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لَأُعْتِيَنَّ الرَّايَةَ غَدًا رَجُلًا يُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولُهُ يُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. That when they went in the campaign of Khaybar and they could not penetrate the ranks of the enemy, it was nightfall, they had to retreat. Sahaba were gripped with anxiety. The Nabi of Allah said, listen, you retire to bed, engage in prayer. Tomorrow the banner will be given to a man who loves Allah and his Nabi, and Allah reciprocates that love by announcing his profound attachment to that individual equally. And so am I fond of that person. Sayyidina Umar said, مَا تَمَنَّيْتُ الْإِمَارَةِ. I never aspired for leadership in my whole life but that night. And it wasn't the leadership that had attracted me, but it was to qualify for the accolade of being the recipient of the love of Allah and his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And here we come in the morning and we gather in our numbers. Anxiety piercing through the roof. Everybody holding his breath in. Who's going to be the fortunate person? Every man anticipating, optimistic. Perhaps the honor falls in my lap. وَشَقَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ السُّكُوتِ. And here the Nabi of Allah, in his explicit, eloquent, profound way, breaks the silence. And he says, can I get sight of Ali ibn Abi Talib? Give him the banner. And I often marvel at this, and I say this, these were Sahaba, that everybody aspired for the position. When it was conferred on Ali, then they saluted him and they said, you were the correct candidate and you were the right recipient for this. If it was us, we would be starting to make sarcastic remarks. Oh well, son-in-laws, you know what I mean? Nepotism, favoritism, it's got to go in the family. We would make the most nasty, the most cunning, the most malicious, the most condescending, the most diluted comments you can think of. But this was Sahaba, and this is how clean. We in one row, we all aspiring for the same thing. It's not rivalry as you would call it in political terminology, but we fighting and aspiring for one position. But listen, Ali, if it comes in your lap, we love you for that and we're happy for you. And that is why I say those among Sahaba, they attain paradise because of their piety and their nobility and their excellency. And the others equally attained it because they complimented those who achieved it. Unfortunately today we don't have the muscle. We don't have the strength to say that if this honor has fallen in someone's lap, good luck to him, Allah bless you and may Allah give you more. Furthermore, the author writes, كَيْفَ كَانَ شُعُورُ سَعْدٍ وَالرَّسُولُ يَقُولُ. Imagine that electrifying moment when Sayyidina Sa'd held the bow and the arrow and the Nabi of Allah passed by and he said, release the arrow, Sa'd, may my parents be sacrificed for you. Now if you're familiar with hadith, you would know that's a phrase the Sahaba had adopted in their total submission to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that our parents be sacrificed. But here the Nabi of Allah used that phrase for Sa'd radiallahu anhu. كَيْفَ كَانَ شُعُورُ عُثْمَانَ بَعْدَمَا جَهَّزَ جَيْشَ تَبُوكَ. Can you imagine that moment for Sayyidina Uthman when he equipped the army of Tabuk? And the call was really critical. The moment was really daunting. The need was absolute crisis. And he encouraged and exhorted his Sahaba to spend. And Sayyidina Uthman stood up and he said, O Nabi of Allah, مِئَةَ بَعِيرٍ بِأَحْلَاسِهَا وَأَقْتَابِهَا. you can consider 100 camels from me. And then the Nabi of Allah encouraged again, and he sallallahu and Sayyidina Uthman stood up again and he said, take another 100 camels from me. And then the Nabi of Allah exhorted again, and this was the beauty of Sahaba. I have been invited in so many tragic situations where siblings have called me in, and I say this with a tear in my eye. Maulana, you need to sit my siblings down and you need to let them know it's not only my parents, it's their parents also. I would say tragic to them, nay woe be to them, but good luck to you. Why do you want to divert blessings that have fallen in your lap? Why don't you exploit their evil? How do political parties, one thrives on the deficiencies of others. If you fall in short, we'll score more. If you don't want to see your mom, good luck to me. I was called into a meeting recently or not too long ago. Look at the crisis of this analogy and you just wonder, Allah, where is our ummah going? So tragically, the parents on top are divorced and separated, but they're not in a good financial wicket. One child takes it upon himself that he wants to accommodate his parents and house his parents, but he only has a simple basic flat of two rooms in it. Now obviously, if he accommodates them, inevitably the parents are going to be crossing paths because of the small size of that particular flat. He becomes a victim of 1,000 criticisms in society. What kind of son? Father and mother are separated. He cries to me, he says, I don't have more within my means. None of my brothers and sisters are ready to keep either of my parents so that we can house them. I can't allow my father to be on the street, nor my mother. I don't have the means to arrange an independent flat. I sat and I cried and I cried. I said, Allah, where has this ummah fallen? Sayyidina Uthman, the Nabi of Allah said again, he didn't say like, okay, now, oh, Nabi of Allah, I hope you're not looking at me. Nabi is talking to you. No, those were not Sahaba. Those were not Sahaba. When privileges came, they said it refers to you. When challenges came, they said it referred to me. When it was an insinuation, it was me. When it was an acknowledgement, it's you. When it was a compliment, it was others. But when it was a hint, when it was an insinuation, when it was a reproach, when it was a message, that was to me. Again, the Nabi of Allah exhorted them. He stood up and then he came and gave the thousands of dirhams. And the Nabi of Allah was so elated, he started flipping the coins. He started playing with the coins. And then he said, غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ يَا عُثْمَانَ مَا قَدَّمْتَ وَمَا أَخَّرْتَ وَمَا أَسْرَرْتَ وَمَا أَعْلَنْتَ وَمَا أَخْفَيْتَ وَمَا أَبْدَيْتَ وَمَا كَانَ مِنْكَ وَمَا هُوَ كَائِنٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ Uthman, you, your family, your progeny till Qiyamah, you can, it's a closed shop, it's all done. Everything has been confirmed for you. مَا ضَرَّ عُثْمَانَ مَا فَعَلَ بَعْدَ هَذَا الْيَوْمِ No sin or crime of Uthman will harm or compromise or jeopardize his entry into Jannah. He has brought such joy to me. Can you imagine that moment? كَيْفَ كَانَ شُعُورُ أَبِي مُوسَى الْأَشْعَرِ What was the moment of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari? وَالرَّسُولُ يَقُولُ لَهُ When the Nabi of Allah said to him in the morning, لَوْ رَأَيْتَنِي أَلْبَارِحَةُ وَأَنَا أَسْتَمِعُ لِقِرَاعَتِكَ Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, last night when you were reciting Quran, I know you are not aware, but I was at the back and I was listening and I was really enjoying it. Imagine, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari reciting Quran and the Nabi of Allah is at the rear and he's listening and subsequently he discovers this. You know, you're walking at the airport somewhere abroad overseas and then you might be flipping through some unsavory magazine and someone says, Ibrahim, and then you duck for cover. And if you were just wrapping up your prayer mat and someone said, Ibrahim, and you feel so elated, you feel so ecstatic, the hadith of Bukhari, O Nabi of Allah, I do a good deed for Allah, but when others see me or they praise me, I feel excited about it. Is this on track or is this, may Allah reward Sahaba, they ask everything. Tilka ajilu bushra al-mu'min. That's good news, Allah gave it to you in this world finish. I often say, Allah's eye is on you, but trust me, the makhluk of Allah, even their eye is on you. Even the makhluk of Allah. كَيْفَ كَانَ شُعُورُ بِلَالٍ What was that moment of Bilal? When the Nabi of Allah called him, Bilal, come here. Divulge the secret. Oh Bilal, divulge the secret. What's this ambiguity? Every time I'm in Jannat, you are around me. Bilal, tell us, what's the formula? Share the secret. أخبرني بأرجع عمل عملته في الإسلام فإني سمعت دف نعليك بين يدي في الجنة. Bilal, whenever I see myself in Jannah, sometimes you behind me, sometimes on my right, sometimes... Bilal, please, man, give us the secret, we can pass it on. Imagine that moment that the Nabi of Allah is in Jannah and Bilal said, whenever my wudu breaks, I perform ablution. Today, our faith has gone so weak. I've been mentioning this in some of my talks. If I come for Dhuhr and my salah breaks, it's a separate reason if I analyze what I consume, but be it as it may. My wudu breaks multiple times. You say, hey, you know, Allah is testing me. Hey, Allah loves me. Allah loves me because my wudu broke twice. That, we've become so weak, we elevate that or consider that to be a threat, a test. I'm not saying it's not. Surely it has a bit, it's a bit cumbersome. It can be a bit complicated. Go back, use the washroom, back and forth. People are asking, like, what's happening? You know, once, twice. But for me, that constitutes a serious impediment, a serious threat, a serious obstacle. And Bilal radiallahu anhu said, whenever my wudu broke, wherever it broke, I would perform my ablution and then hasten in the performance of two rakat. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that's the secret. Let's pass it on. Maybe there could be others that would rally around you, Bilal, in Jannah as well. So coming back to Zahir radiallahu anhu, the Nabi of Allah comes from the rear and embraces him. مَنْ يَشْتَرِي هَذَا الْعَبْدِ. Who will purchase this person? Now look at what he says, and this is the beauty. What was his personal opinion? He said, O Nabi of Allah, I'm comfortable with you auctioning me. But the reality is, I don't hold much weight in the eyes of people. I'm an ordinary man. I don't have, there isn't much credentials to my name. There isn't much accolades to my name, O Nabi of Allah. So, how much will you get with me? That is why somebody asked our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, Mata a'lam anni muhsin. When do I know that I'm a good person? She said, when you truly believe you're a bad person. Not when you sarcastically remark, when you truly believe. There is a narration in Tanbihul Ghafilin in Babul Ujb, a person made ibadat for 60 years. And then he made dua to Allah, and in the wisdom of Allah, his dua was not accepted. So he then chastised himself, he reproached himself, and this was the practice of the pious. Allah forgive, when my prayer doesn't get answered, I'm almost wanting to chastise Allah. I'm almost wanting to reproach and start throwing question marks to Allah, but like, hang on. Like, what's happening, Allah? What I was told and what I'm seeing, I see two different things. The pious, they would start analyzing themselves. They would microscopically look into their lives. إِذَا فَقَدُوا أَعْمَالَهُمْ تَفَقَدُوا أَعْمَالَهُمْ. When they fail to accomplish their objectives, they analyze their actions. So he reproached himself and he chastised himself and he said, listen, I think you've got a high opinion about yourself. He said to himself, if you were so great as you perceive, and you were so noble as you consider, then your prayer would have been readily accepted. I think, you know what? You need to realize that in the eyes of Allah, you don't hold that status. You don't hold that status. Allah sent wahi to the Nabi of the time that informed this person, this one moment of absolute annihilation of himself has actually given him more credibility than 6 decades of perpetual worship. Because servitude in essence is annihilation of oneself. That is servitude. Dawood said, alayhi salam, O my Lord, how do I display the desired gratitude when I'm obligated to you in being grateful to you? So I need to be grateful, but it requires your ability to be grateful. Allah said, this is exactly what I want. Exhaust everything. And then confess inability, now you've been grateful. Al-an shakartani ya Dawood. Al-an shakartani ya Dawood. They say 4 qualities and attributes are the signs of an evil person. I'm just going to share 2, I'm not going to go into details. Number 1 is nisyanu dhunubil madhiyah wa hiya 'indallahi mahfuza. To ideally omit and forget the sins of your past life while they remain documented in the archives of Allah. You forgot about it. Hey, in the 40s, in the 50s, weren't you that brother? Hey, those farishtas also passed on now. What are you talking about that? What are you talking about that? Nisyanu dhunub, to forget the sins. وَهِيَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مَحْفُوظًا وَذِكْرُ الْحَسَنَاتِ وَهُوَ لَا يَدْرِي أَقُبِلَتْ أَمْ رُدَّتْ. And to rave and brag about good deeds that you performed without the faintest idea if it satisfied the profile of acceptance. Now look at, we talk of psychology. Youth are living in a cyber world. They are constant comparison to their peers. Tell him, from 1 to 10, how do you view yourself? Girls are greater victims than boys. So, between you and your girls and the peers, where do you feature in wealth? Where do you feature in beauty? Where do you feature? So she's got a very low morale of herself, a very low self-esteem. Look at the words of Nabi alayhi salam, how he elevated the morale of individuals. He said to Zahir radiallahu anhu, لَكِنْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ لَسْتَ بِكَاسِدٍ. Oh Zahir, what actually matters is how you feature and fare in the court of Allah. Regardless of what people perceive, take it from me, in the eyes of Allah, you are the most exclusive servant of His. Oh Zahir, and I just need that to be done, my brother. I can have 1,000. I said to one youngster, he says, you know, my mother has an issue with me. My boss loves me. My mother-in-law says I'm her son. My neighbor says I'm a good man. I said, all those who you have impressed are great, but beneath none of their feet is your jannat. Beneath none of their feet, and I'm not saying you must have a bone to pick with your mother-in-law. Don't flip the coin around and say, you know what, this man's got something against mother-in-law. No, no, no. I'm married 17 years. I got a cap of a husband on my head also. So I got to be euphemistic and diplomatic about that. I got my ducks in a row. What I'm saying here is that everything you need to do is with your mother. And there you've backed off. There you've backed off. Because Jannat lies beneath her feet. So don't appease yourself by the perception of others. You need to score on where Allah has put the drawing points and the marks. There is a narration in Tirmidhi, in Nasa'i Sharif. Aisha radiallahu anha says, Zaratna Saudatu Yawma. One day Nabi Sassim was at my house and Sauda radiallahu anha came to visit. So just to put things into perspective, we're talking about how the Nabi of Allah had to contend with all the pain, the agony, the depression, yet the humor in his life, yet the gentleness, yet the politeness, yet how he lifted the spirits of people and how he took people out of doom and gloom and misery, and he brought joy and happiness to others. So Aisha radiallahu anha said, Sauda radiallahu anha came to visit us, my co-wife, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sitting with me. It was a casual, it was an informal moment. We were having this beautiful time. And really we need to ask ourselves, we read all the other types of material and magazines, and you know what, Allah forgive, sometimes we're flipping through sites that we shouldn't be going through. When we look at the richness and the profoundness of the social fabric and the fiber and the makeup of the personal and domestic life of Nabi alayhi salatu was salam, subhanallah, it's mind-boggling. Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu anhu says, my head was in the lap of my wife. And while I was reclining in the lap, now that's a moment of such closeness, such a bond, such intimacy. Psychologists talk of closeness, proximity, embracing, you know, to feel the touch, the magical, the approach. So while I am reclining in the lap of my wife, I have a flash of a verse in my mind and tears well up in my eyes. When tears well up in my eyes, I glance at my wife and I see tears trickling down her cheeks. So I nudged her and I said, my darling, my beloved, what makes you cry? She says, to see you cry is enough to make me cry. رَأَيْتُكَ تَبْكِي فَبَكَيْتْ. This is a bond. This is a bond. Today if one is crying, why are you crying? Go ask him. Ask him. And it's not a joke, don't laugh. Right? With that real feminine. رأيتك تبكي فبكيت. My beloved, you cried. That's your tears are enough to make me cry. Look at this bond. And then what makes him cry? I was sitting and I thought of the verse, وَإِن مِّنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا كَانَ عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ حَتْمًا مَقْضِيًّا. Allah speaks about this bridge, the pul sirat. And Allah says, every man has to cross it. And I just had a phobia that gripped me. And I just had a fear that had seized me to say, what am I going to do? How am I going to cross this bridge? How will I make it across? Some time ago, I had to go for a little CAT scan and some procedure. So a good friend of mine is a radiologist, put me on the machine, off the lights and everything. Well, you'll be fine. And you know how narrow and you start thinking. And when the lights are off, he says, are you ready? I said, yes. He said, man rabbuk. I say, hey, my brother, this is not a joke, man. This is not a joke, man. This is not a joke, my friend. I mean, if you sit on those machines and that CAT scans and that thing goes and lift your hands, keep aside. But man rabbuk, I said, my brother, this is not a joke, my friend. When that one rabbuk really hits in, my friend, then it's a different thing altogether. In Hayatul Sahaba, under Al-Iman Bima Huwa Kain, the narration is there. Sayyidina, look at the dialogue, look at the chat, look at the richness, look at the amazing nature of what they spoke about. So, Nabi Sassim said, Umar, you don't mind me asking you a question. O Nabi of Allah, go for it. I'm all yours. I'm obviously paraphrasing. What will happen to you, Umar, when you will see two angels in your grave? Aswatuhuma kal-ra'di wa absaruhuma kal-barqi. Voice like thunder, sight like lightning. They have this whip in their hands. Law darabaka biha darbatan tasiru biha ramad. If they flog you once, you'll be reduced to instant ashes. لَوِجْتَمَعَ عَلَيْهِ أَهْلُ مِنَا لَمْ يُطِيقُوا رَفْعَهَا. All those that assemble in the plains of Mina, if they have to pool their strength and their might and their resources, and they try and lift it collectively, they won't able to lift it. Umar radiallahu anhu has a moment. O Nabi of Allah, will I be in my composure? Will I be in my balance? Will I be semi-sedated or will I be totally conscious? He said, no, you'll be totally conscious. O Nabi of Allah, then I'm confident that I will able to deal with the matter very calmly and swiftly. Then I will deal with the matter very calmly and swiftly. The narration goes on. وَزَادَ عَبْدُ الْوَاحِدْ فِي كِتَابِهِ التَّبْصِيرِ. You can read the whole reference. The narration follows on. The dialogue ends. Umar leaves, Jibreel descends, and then he has a word with the Nabi of Allah. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, oh, just call Umar back, I've got an addition to what I told him. Umar, come back. Jibreel just informed me, when those angels are going to appear in your grave, you will initiate the discussion. And you will say, Allahu Rabbi faman rabbukuma. Hang on, keep a distance and arm's length. Allah is my Lord. You want to tell me who's yours? You know, sometimes a boy says, I'll go and ask her, and then you realize I only answered. When you go there, you must ask her this. And then when you come back, he says, hey, you know what, I forgot asking, but she was, yo, it was coming. Full swing. You will tell the angels, Allahu Rabbi faman rabbukuma. And that is what I always say. I say, if you are VIP in the qabr, then you're a VIP. But you're a VIP at an airport, so what? You're a VIP at a diplomatic pass, so what? 10 minutes longer, afterwards I'm still past the queue and I'm out. Okay, you bypass everything, expedite the process, hop the queue, just fast forward everything. Anyway, Sauda radiallahu anha said, the Nabi of Allah, I'm sitting with him. Aisha radiallahu anha, Sauda radiallahu anha comes, Amiltu lahu harira, I prepared some porridge, some pudding. So my co-wife came. So obviously co-wife, rivalry, we know what it is. Or even if we don't know, you just take a mother-in-law, daughter-in-law and times it by 10. That's my analogy. I don't know. Or maybe even 100. Right, I can't speak on experience, but obviously you can just apply it on that line and just multiply it a few more times. So I prepared pudding and I said to my co-wife, join us for meals. You are here, please. We'll eat together. For a but, she said no. And that no. Loud no. explicit, where you know it's non-negotiable. So I said, لَتَأْكُلِينَ أَوْ لَأُلَتِّخَنَّ بِهَا وَجْهَكَ. Now, what's my pain? You want to read about this in the private life? Someone was telling me there in London of one so-called celebrity sits on the rooftop and then throws spit on his fans. Right? And then they gather around. They gather around. I mean, I must tell you, it was last week Friday. So when we got off from the airport, he said, Sheikh, I'm taking you to have breakfast at a place you'll never forget in your life. I said, why? He said, the name of the restaurant is Second Wife's Choice. I said, you know what? That name will satiate my hunger more than the meal, my brother. So this then is telling me, he was mentioning someone's name, and obviously we don't want to mention it. He said, this is how that fan worship has become in hero worship, that you sit on the roof and then sit and hurl saliva on your so-called fans, and then you smear it on the body. Allah, where has the ummah? If a man who hasn't got iman is there, I'm not condoning it, I can digest it. But if a man has Muhammadur Rasulullah in his heart, some of whom have the entire Quran in their heart, my Allah, there's nothing left for me to love, my Allah. There's nothing left for me to love, my Allah. To sit and wait for that was for Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith of Bukhari, Kitab al-Shurud, first volume, the occasion of Hudaybiyah, and I'm not going into it, the inference is there and the reference is there. So I said, you will eat or else I'll smear this pudding on your face. She said, go for it, who's stopping you? So anyway, I took the pudding and I lived up to it and I delivered and I executed and I smeared it on her face. Wa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yadhak. And my Nabi just gave us space, allowed us, had a chuckle, and he just had a laugh, and he just backed off and like, okay. I can just imagine my Nabi, I just tear. What a human being you were, my Habib. What a human being you were, my Habib. If only I knew who you were, and the Ummah understood who you were, my Nabi, this Ummah wouldn't have been suffering the loss and the case and the anarchy and the mayhem that it is suffering in the world. What a perfect life. But then, the balance. After I smeared it on Sauda's face, radiyallahu anha, rafa'a Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rijlahu min hijri. Rafa'a Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rijlahu min hijriha litastaqida minni. Modestly, my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then drew his leg up from the lap of Sauda, gesturing to her, signaling to her, it's time you reciprocate the same thing. He didn't explicitly say it, his body language gave it. فَأَخَذَتْ مِنَ الصَّحْفَةِ شَيْئًا. So she now inches forward, grabs some saliva, grabs some pudding, and then she gently smears it on my face. And we both had this laughter and this humorous moment, and the Nabi of Allah had a chuckle, and subhanallah, this was the wholesome nature of his perfect life in his family life within the confines of his house. Abu Ya'la makes mention of the narration. Aisha and Hafsa radiyallahu anha says, Zaratna Saudatu Yawma. Sauda radiyallahu anha came to visit us one day. And she was really dressed for the moment. She was dressed for the occasion. So Hafsa radiyallahu anha said to Aisha radiyallahu anha, she said, Hadihi tabruqu bainana. MashaAllah, look at her. She's really dressed. She's dolled up. She's really dressed well. Wa nahnu fisqatain. And we are all still in our simple dress. We haven't really dolled ourselves up. We haven't really beautified ourselves. And she had put certain types of beauty on her garment. Alila, who is one of the narrators of the hadith, she says, Adraktu an-nisa yatazayyanna bihi. Back in the days, the woman used to use this as a form of great beauty. So in essence, Sauda radiallahu anha was really dressed up. And Aisha and Hafsa radiallahu anha, more particular Hafsa, felt intimidated that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is coming, she's looking very attractive, we not looking so dressed up. So Hafsa radiallahu anha said to Aisha, La ufsidanna alayha zinataha. Watch me, I'm going to put her in panic mode. I'm going to get her off guard. I'm going to ambush her. So Aisha radiallahu anha said, ittaqillaha ya ummul mu'minin. Listen, Hafsa, that's not the way we deal with things. Fair enough, you have your anxiety, your rivalry, your emotions. But leave her, she's dressed well. Good luck. If the Nabi of Allah says a kind word, acknowledge it and, you know, good luck to her. Says, no. Ya Sauda radiallahu anha comes. She's all dressed up. Hafsa and Aisha radiallahu anha are ambushing her. They come there. Sauda, you dressed up, good luck to you. But you need to know, Dajjal has made his presence. Now you decide. Kharaj al-aqwar. In the moment of panic, anxiety, she says, Aina akhtabi, where do I take cover? Alayki bihadihi al-khayma. And then we want to read these other lives. And we want to find how they lived. And their social life. And they with their fans. And behind the scenes. And how they have their concerts. And how they have their banquets. And how they have their annual parties. As if there is a vacuum in the legacy of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we have to go with our begging bowls and ask, how do we strike the balance of being methodical in life, yet being casual in our personal life? How can we deliver in a professional capacity? And how can we have humorous interactions in our personal domestic life? No human in the annals of history has shown such a balance and such a wholesome package like the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Anyway, she takes shelter in the tent. وَهُمَا تَضْحَكَانَ. And they are rolling with laughter. لَا تَسْتَطِعَانِ أَن تَتَكَلَّمَا مِنَ الضِّحْكِ. And they cannot possibly verbalize or articulate a letter, leave alone a word, due to the intensity of the laughter. The Nabi of Allah comes in, مَضِّحْكُ. What's the laugh all about? Nothing doing. مَضِّحْكُ. Can you break the laughter and can you please explain? Nothing doing. Now this was the composure of the Nabi of Allah. Listen, you folks better get your act together or else Jibreel will intervene. No, that wasn't the Nabi of Allah. He never flashed the card of Nabuwat. He never flashed the card of Nabuwat to say, hang on, I was talking to you in my casual capacity. I am the superintendent here, in case you don't know, Your Majesty. I will see you right.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.